This is Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Soil Church. Join me right here on Shine Lord Radio Show every Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on We Talk Radio. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there.
Yeah.
Good morning to everybody out there. Good morning to everyone that is listening to us on this morning. Today is October 17th, 2021. And if you are alive today to listen to this message, you are indeed blessed. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because he blessed you to see this day. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of the wonderful church called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And we want to welcome you to come grow in the soil with us. I want to thank you for spending just a small segment of your time listening to us on Facebook Live, listening to us on YouTube Live, on soilchurch.online.church, and all the different platforms that we are on. We want to welcome you into this place and allow the benefits of God's grace. That's right. We want to welcome you into this place and allow for the benefits of God's grace. It's been a wonderful time. It's fall, and fall has come in and put its stamp on our season here, at least in the south central part of the United States, here in the Texas region. Here we're starting to see the leaves change. We're starting to get the cool mornings and the cool evenings. And this is, again, as you've heard me say before, one of my favorite times of the year, where you can still have good low 70 degree temperatures and still have nice brisk and cool evenings and mornings. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful time. It's harvest season. It is harvest time, and we want to thank God for allowing the seeds to be sown that allow us to reap the benefits of the wonderful harvest. So without further ado, we've got a word from God on today. We've got a word from God on today. And one thing that I want us to do this morning, I want you to, let's just kind of, as they used to say back in the days, put on your thinking caps. I want y'all to just kind of go on a journey with me on this morning. And I just want to just set the foundation here. I just want to paint an illustration for you, if you will, to just allow yourself to just imagine Jesus in the peak of his ministry. He's given the Sermon on the Mount. He's done a few wonderful miracles here, and he's captivating the crowds that are around him. He's walking among the crowds, and he's performing one miracle after a miracle, and he's captivating the crowds and the haters as well, because not everybody that followed Jesus was a Jesus lover. Jesus had some haters. In fact, the Bible says that some of them watched him so that they might accuse him. You had the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, because he was disrupting what they thought was the law of all laws. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But he's going around and he's doing some things that we've never seen before in the history of this world, such as turning contaminated water into wine. Wine being a fermented version of water that was able to be consumed, water that was able to be drank at the time. He did that to keep a significant party going during that time. That was part of a celebratory moment. People are beginning to talk. Who is this guy? Who's this Jesus? What's he going to do next? They're gathering all around him, and they want to see what's the next great miracle he's going to perform. Who is he going to touch? Who's he going to heal? Who's going to see the marvelous works of this Jesus guy? So let's continue to follow him as we follow him, as we continue to follow him. We thought that social media started when the World Wide Web came into existence. No, social media started when the people began to follow Jesus. The word began to travel all over the Eastern and the Asian and European region during that time, because who is this guy? How is he gaining these powers? He's calling himself the Messiah, but we knew that he was born in Bethlehem. Who is this guy? He's captivating. He's gaining traction, and he's beginning to gather crowds around, and at times he's doing little miracles right here and there, and touching and healing, and he's doing so many things because he's captivating the masses, drawing crowds of thousands. People are astonished because they've never seen anything like this before. Picture it. Put it in your mind. Go on the walk and act as if you're one of those people that's seeing him coming by and presenting one of the dynamic miracles that you've never seen in your life. They're saying he's a healer. They're calling this man a way maker. He's magnificent. He has, some would say, supernatural powers. Who is this Jesus? Where is he from? Let's continue to watch. Let's continue to go where he's going, because that's what leaders do. They allow you to go where they go. As a matter of fact, John Maxwell says a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And Jesus, being one of the greatest leaders of all time, showed every one of us the way. He called himself the way, the truth, and the light. And you cannot come to the Father except access through me. Let's continue to go on this journey as we discover who is this Jesus. I just want you to picture yourself living in the day when Jesus is just walking by. He's passing by. You know that this man is different. He has a different walk, a different talk. He's doing things that you've never seen before. So you don't want to miss that ministry moment. You don't want to miss another healing. So you're going to now become part of that crowd that continues to follow this Jesus. Today's time, when the Pope comes to town, everybody knows when the Pope is coming. It makes worldwide news and everybody knows where the Pope is going, and people gather around, and that's about something close to probably the closest version of Jesus captivating the masses that we can see on today. But just imagine Jesus here and the appearance that he would draw. Imagine him coming and just passing your way. This is what that woman with the issue of blood did. She heard about him. People are talking about him. People are saying, hey, this Jesus guy, here's what he did for me. The paralytic said, here's what he straightened out for me. The beggar said, here's what he did for me. And the blind man said, here's what he did for me. Everybody knows that this Jesus is captivating. He's drawing crowds, and people want to see what's the next miracle that's going to be performed. But not only is he going to stop by for a brief moment to show you a miracle, Jesus, being the greatest teacher of all time, is also going to give a lesson. He's teaching in a way that you've never heard anyone teach before. He's breaking down the Bible and what you've never heard broken down before. Just imagine being in what I want to call the school of Jesus as he's teaching, he's showing, and he's clarifying some misunderstandings, and he's shining light on some things that were filled with darkness. And now that you understand the word of God like you've never understood it before, you have taste and you have seen that he is in fact good. This is what Jesus was doing as he was teaching a lesson about something called hypocrisy. This is something that Jesus had a problem with. As a matter of fact, it is said that Jesus hates the hypocrite. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 23, he's giving a warning about people that have certain titles and positions that seem to think that they're high and that they're mighty and most certainly holier than thou. That didn't sit right with Jesus. That's not what living a life for God is all about. There is one God who sits on the throne, and there's only one God to be treated at that level of holy and worship. What I want us to understand is that he's telling the people that are around not to follow in behind this type of spirit. He does not want them to do what they do. He says this in Matthew chapter 23. Don't do what they do. You see what they do, but don't do what they do. He's telling them that these types of people will tell you to get your hands dirty while their hands are well manicured and clean. They'll tell you to lift the heavy loads, and yet they will not lift a finger. This is something that one of the disciples that followed Jesus, Matthew, it really stood out to Matthew. Because in this recording of Matthew following Jesus during the three dynamic years of his ministry, it stood out to Matthew. this blessed Matthew's spirit, because he said, hey, nobody has ever went there before. Nobody has ever been bold to go against the grain. No one has ever challenged the structure and the social dialect at that time to be able to go against the grain and say, wait a minute, I'm calling out some people. Jesus is calling out the hypocrites. He is telling it like it is. He's shining light on darkness, and he's exposing the frauds for who they are. These are the things that eventually led to the crucifixion. Because sometimes the establishment does not like to be challenged. Sometimes where there's dark, there's contentment. But when there's light, light exposes. Jesus is going around and he's exposing all of the darkness. Jesus, as I said earlier, he hates the hypocrite. He hates the lukewarm spirit. And what I want us to understand is just like what Joshua tells us in Joshua 24 and 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Don't sit on the fence. Either accept the life of cold or accept the life of heat. But make a choice on today. And this is what Jesus wants us to understand. He wants you to pick a side. Come off of the fence. And land on one side or the other. So therefore, you can at least know where you stand. But think about what Joshua said here in this text. Make a choice to serve. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. That is in Joshua 24 and 15. Make a choice about who you're going to serve. Why are we talking about serving on today? Well, because it talks about being able to identify who are hypocrites that will give the orders and give the demands, but where's the level of service? Where is their servitude to be found? Because the problem that Jesus had about this is that telling someone to do something that you're not willing to do, as you see our first slide on this morning, is something that Jesus opposes. I want to read that again to you because I want that to saturate into your spirit. Telling someone to do something that you are not willing to do is something that Jesus opposes. How do we know that he opposes this? Well, let's hear the teaching in Matthew 23 and 11, and I am coming from the New International Version of the Bible. And as before we get into that word, because this is the main text that we're coming from on today, and we're going somewhere with this here, because the people of God, we need to hear this word on today. How do I know that? Because God kept me up after a 13-hour shift yesterday, working my fingers to the bone, ready to lay down, ready to relax, ready to shut things down. He said, we got a word. I need you to give this word unto my people. So if it's just one person, a second person, a third person, a man, a woman, a child, whoever it is out there, this word is for you on today. But before we get into Matthew 23 and 11, I always want to give the analogy because I never love to assume that anyone and everybody understands the Bible. Not everybody grew up in church. This is why I do this. Not everyone understands the books of the Bible and grew up and went to vacation Bible school. So I just want to try to simplify the word of God as best as I can. And I thank God for his ability to do so. So that we can understand the word of God. The Bible is like having two hands. Okay, we've got an Old Testament, which is represented by the left hand, and a New Testament, which is represented by the right hand. The Old Testament, the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. That's what we talked about Joshua, telling us to choose who you will serve on this day. And then on the right hand, which is represented as the New Testament, which is the books of Matthew through the books of Revelation. This is where Matthew comes into play because this is the New Testament. We have the four gospels, the four different accounts of Jesus's 3 years of dynamic ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those represent the gospels. That was Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, everything that we know about Jesus from sending down from kingdom, all right, to living 33 wonderful years on earth and three impactful years of ministry, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record that. And then we get into the book of Acts later in the New Testament, and we go all the way through the books of Revelations, right? We talk about the reintroduction of the Holy Spirit, so forth and so on. And then some of the disciples like Peter and different ones, they have books of the Bible as well. So we're going to hang out today in the New Testament. And I want to thank you for joining us on this morning and just being patient as we talk about something that is so needed. And we're going to go somewhere because I'm going to tie this into the workplace and economics on today. Because as I say all the time, the Word of God, it lives through us, it speaks through us, and it meets us wherever we are. And God has a word for us on today. So in Matthew 23 and 11, coming from the New International Version, as you see on the screen here, Jesus is teaching this group during this time. He's teaching the disciples as well as the crowds that are continuing to follow him. The greatest among you, says Jesus, the greatest among you will be your servant. Think about that. The greatest among you will be your servant. Think about that. Let that saturate as you're still picturing in your mind Jesus walking and talking and teaching and healing and performing miracles and doing the things that Jesus is doing. And then he teaches something that stunts everybody, brings them to a screeching halt. Wait a second. What? The greatest among you will be your servant. To serve is what Jesus is teaching in this text. And our message on today, as you see the slide up, says the greatness of serving. Ladies and gentlemen, today, October 17, 2021, today's message is the greatness of serving. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for gracing us with another wonderful day that you have made. We thank you for this message on serving. Lord, some things sometimes we forget about. Sometimes, Lord, we allow titles and different things to kind of wash away one key ingredient that you commanded all of us to do, and that's to serve. Bring it back to us, Lord. Speak your word on today. Use us for your ultimate purpose, your ultimate desire. And allow us to die to ourselves and allow your spirit to come in. Saturate our minds, our hearts, and our spirits, Lord. Help us to have a humble ear, a humbled ear to hear. Give us a humbled ear to hear what you are speaking to us on today. And get the glory out of this word, this message. Free someone, Lord. Use us for your purpose and your glory. In the mighty, magnificent, beautiful, bountiful name of your son, Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen on today. Again, I want to thank all of you for joining us and also those that are joining us on We Talk Radio that are listening to the Shine Lord program on this morning. I want to thank y'all for joining us as well. So let's go back to the word here that we're talking about on today, talking about serving, serving, servitude, serving. The word serving, ladies and gentlemen, is mentioned serving, S-E-R-V-I-N-G, that context of the word. The word serving is mentioned in the Bible 7 times. The number 7 in the Bible, as we know and as we've talked about, represents the number of completion. It represents the number of completion. We talked about God in the book of Genesis creates the heavens and the earth. And after the 7th day, okay, the Sabbath, the 7th day, the work was finished. And God said, it is good. So we use that because of the 7th day. We use that number 7 and identifying, and as we continue to read other things in the Bible that the number 7 that is significant to the number 7, which represents the number of completion. So if the word serving, ing, serving, is mentioned 7 times, and the number 7 is the number of completion, I want you to hear this token right now. I want you to hear this token this morning. I would like to suggest, okay, I would love to suggest that serving completes your Christianity. Serving, as you see the slide up on this morning, completes your Christianity. What does that mean, Pastor Glenn? I need you to kind of elaborate on that and break that down. What do you mean completing your Christianity? Well, you can be saved. You can live a life for God. But Jesus said the greatest among you is your servant. And if a Christian is of Christ, Christian, of Christ, right? T-I-A-N is of, and Christ is short for, and Christian is short for Christ. Jesus is the Christ. That means to be like Jesus means that you have to have a heart of serving. It's incomplete unless you have a heart to serve. That's why he said, the greatest among you will be your servant. And the student is no greater than the what? The teacher. So if the teacher of all teachers, the Lord of all lords and the God of all gods, never stops serving, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, it is our duty and responsibility to make sure we continue to serve. This is why we say serving, ing, means it is a constant thing, continuing to serve. Not that I did serve or I used to serve, but what have you done for me lately is what God is saying. What are we constantly doing on today? Who are we serving? So let's talk about that. What does it mean to serve? Let's talk about that word, and the root word or the ancient word from serve, it is a Greek word, and I want to just break down that word. It is a Greek word, which is called diakineo, okay? That is the Greek word for serve, and it means to be a servant, an attendant, domestic, to serve or to wait upon someone. This is why we have waiters and waitresses. That comes from that Greek word, and it comes from serving. That's what it means. What does a waiter or a waitress do in a restaurant? They serve you. You sit down and you receive. They take your order. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is going somewhere on this morning. They take your order. Thank you, Jesus. You allow them, you tell them what it is that you want. Think about that. You tell them custom designed what it is that you want, whether you want pickles or not, or mustard or whatever. You are specifically telling that server, oh, Holy Spirit on this morning, telling them what it is that you want. And they go on your behalf. They represent you. They're doing something Jesus does. They're going to represent you and go to the actual cook. Jesus goes to God, the chef, and says, John, Jim, Susie, Bo wants this platter, or they want this food, or whatever the case, and this is how they want it. This is exactly how they want it. That chef prepares that meal, and that server brings it back to you. This is why Jesus is the great intercessor, because he intercesses between us and God. We tell Jesus what it is that we want, and guess what he does? He serves it back to us. This is how it operates. This is why the greatest among us will be our servant. He was talking at the current tense at that time. And he was also talking because he knew he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to die. He knew that he was going to raise again. And he was never going to, here's the word on this morning, stop serving. That's why he said, will be the greatest. The greatest among you will be your servant. Not was at one point, not used to be or whatever, will be. There's the ing in serving. The greatest among you will be your servant. Serving in the Bible 7 times. Do you see the connection here? I love teaching the word of God. I love teaching the word of God. And I also love when the Holy Spirit comes in and hijacks some things, because I can't take credit for some of this. The Holy Spirit comes in and just, But I want us to understand Jesus is constantly serving each of us on today. So as we talk about that word serving, this is why Jesus hates the hypocrite. Because the people that make the laws, especially during that time, talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were so fixated on everybody obeying their law that they began to feel and think that they were too good to be of the law, to serve their people, to be the doers of that same law. I can create the laws and I can enforce the laws, but I don't have to obey the laws. This is the problem that Jesus had. This is the light that he was shining on that form of darkness. Now, remember, as we're talking about Jesus here, remember, he stepped down from glory. Angels praising him nonstop. Just picture heaven. Everything angelic about heaven, the glorious glory of heaven, streets of gold, just all of the beauty. I mean, he sits at a level in which we cannot even comprehend in our natural minds the glory of heaven. We get glimpses and we can read about the book of Revelations and the book of Isaiah and different things that talk about, give us glimpses of heaven. But until we go, we will not really 100% know how wonderful and how beautiful the glory of heaven is. I want you to understand Jesus stepped down from all of that. Think about that. The what we can see as a castle on today, or what we can see, what may be royalty on today, just think about that at a level in which we can't even comprehend. That's what he stepped down from. To do what? To serve. He stepped down from that kind of glory, ladies and gentlemen, that was in fact just to serve. And not only just to serve, but to serve those that didn't believe in him, that would say he was a fraud, that would call him different names and mocked him and accused him. And those that did not even accept him, Jesus served them as well. The level of serving that Jesus had, there was no bias in his serving. He didn't just serve my kind, if you will. He didn't just serve Jewish people. He didn't just serve his family. He didn't just serve a certain group of people. Jesus came to serve us all. He didn't cater to certain groups or social or economic statuses. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about how much money you had. It wasn't about your job title and the company that you own and all that stuff. Jesus came to serve all of us. He served the greatest, and he also served the least of them. Remember, he's always talking about the least of them. The 99 were okay, but he went after that one sheep. Jesus even served that one sheep, that sheep that got off track, that sheep that decided to ask for all the inheritance of that father and go out and live that lifestyle. Jesus continued to serve him because he welcomed that prodigal son back with open arms. He never stopped serving. Regardless, I want to speak to somebody right now. I don't care where you've gone in life, what you've been through, what you've experienced, Jesus is still serving you on today. You can never do anything to make Jesus stop serving. You can never go any place in life to make Jesus stop serving. I don't care what you've been through, what you've done, or whatever the case, he is constantly doing the ing and serve for you in your life, and he will never stop serving you on today. Somebody needed to hear that word on this morning. You need to understand that even in heaven, Jesus is still serving you. He's answering your prayers. He's going before the Father. He is working as an intercessory between you and the Father because he loves you. He cares for you. He will never give up on you. Don't you ever give up on him. Jesus is constantly serving you in your life. What I want us to understand is you see the next slide that we're putting up on this morning. Serving is for anyone and serving is to anyone. Serving is for anyone and serving is to anyone. Let that sink for a second. Let that saturate in your spirit for a quick moment. You know, it's interesting that yesterday, and there's no coincidence, my wife and I, the lovely Miss Glenn, who's with us on this morning here, the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world, we were talking yesterday, and we were talking about some of the messages that we've had here over the past year. This has been a wonderful year of preaching and teaching, and God is just really, really taking my ministry, taking the level of teaching to an entirely different level. And I can't take credit for it. I thank God for the ability because I am absolutely nothing without him. But we were talking yesterday and she said to me that one of her favorite messages here was a message. And you go all on Facebook and go back and listen to this message. It was a Sunday before Easter of this year. And we had talked about Jesus. She said one of her favorite messages was when we were talked about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. He ungirded himself during this moment. What he did was he stood up, and this was during the Last Supper, and he had already said, one of y'all are going to betray me. And right after that, he did this ultimate act that they did not understand. The disciples, they didn't understand. They were like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? He ungirded himself. He derobed himself, and then he ungirded himself. He found a towel, and he wrapped himself up with this towel, right? He went down into that. He stripped himself down. We're talking about serving. And what he did was he began to wash the feet of the disciples. Think about that. Jesus getting ready to be crucified, knowing who he is and knowing what he's getting to do, had time enough to wash 24 feet before he went through one of the most gruesome and painful things that he would ever experience in the physical side of his life. And what he did was he stooped down right from heaven and he washed the feet of all 12 disciples, and he didn't discriminate on the feet that he would wash. He washed John, the disciple that loved him, and he also washed the feet of Judas as well, whom would a few hours later would come with clean feet from the master and come back and betray him with a kiss. In that message, we talked about allowing Jesus to place your life in the basin of salvation and wash all of your sins away. He washed the betrayer's sins away. He washed the doubter in Thomas's sins away. He washed Peter after he just sliced off the ear of someone that came to try to incarcerate Jesus, right? He washed that angry spirit away. He washed a promiscuous spirit away. He washed every spirit that we can imagine in mankind, because Jesus is filled with serving. You cannot out-sin the service of Jesus. I need somebody to put that in the chat on this morning. You cannot out-sin the service of Jesus. Let's say that one more time. That is right from the Holy Spirit, fresh off the boat. You cannot out-sin the service of Jesus. This is why the greatest among you will be your servant. This is what I want us to know. That Jesus will get down and gritty with wherever you are in your life and serve you. He served the woman at the well, even though she had a promiscuous life. Even though she was considered to be dirty and unclean and unholy, the woman with the issue of blood wasn't even allowed or was supposed to be in the public setting during that time that she had experienced that type of blood flow, constant blood flow, 12 years of blood flow in her life, 12 years, 12 disciples, or something about the number 12 as well. But she found her way because Jesus, and remember, everybody's talking about this Jesus, and she would not let him pass her. Service was brought to her. How about that? We talk about DoorDash today and all these other things. How about that? Jesus just walking. Service was brought to the woman with the issue of blood. But I want us to understand something here. I was talking to my guy that runs our production team here on this morning here. Serving ain't pretty. Serving ain't pretty at all. It can be somewhat of a gruesome thing. It's not a very pretty thing. It's not the most beautiful and charming of things, but serving ain't pretty, but it's necessary. Serving ain't pretty, but it's necessary. Somebody might want to put that in a chat. Allow God to use you. Post that. Light it up. Let's let the world know that serving ain't pretty, but it's necessary. Because I believe in today's time that we've gotten away from service. You can just go out to your favorite restaurant today. Is food the same that it was before the pandemic? Is your level of service the same because of the pandemic? Okay, wherever you go right now, there is something that's been impacted. There's something that's been affected because the level of service, as we can see in today's society, is starting to suffer. We've gotten away from it. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, because what I want us to understand about Jesus and his level of service to us, because he will serve you while you're on top of your game, and he will also serve you while you're not on top of your game. That doesn't matter to Jesus, because you cannot out-sin his level of service. I want you to take a look at this next slide that we're getting ready to put up on this morning. Jesus's entire ministry, ladies and gentlemen, was all about serving, ing, not service, but serving. That means that Jesus is still constantly in ministry of serving us right now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why he is the greatest leader of all time, because Jesus was never too proud to continue to serve. This is why he hated the hypocrite, and particularly the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in their mindset of thinking, I'm too holy to serve. I'm too proud to serve. I'm too great to serve. I make and I enforce the rules, but I don't have to get down into the depths and actually work the rules that I've established. This is why he is the greatest server of all time, because in just 3 years of ministry, he has the best-selling book of all time, which is called the Bible. And millions are still being saved today because of those three dynamic, impactful years of service, better known as ministry. That's right, ministry is service. Ministry is not about having titles. Ministry is not about having your favorite parking spot and your name up on the door and everybody coming in and whatever that particular day is that you have and everybody. No, ministry is all about service. And I'm going to speak to some of our pastors that are out there right now. We have to make sure we don't lose the heart to serve. We need to make sure that we don't lose our heart to serve. Don't just look to be served. Make sure that you are, in fact, serving. As Jesus is saying in verse 11 in Matthew 23, the greatest among you, he is speaking in current times. He's speaking in current tense, talking to everyone that is currently around him at that moment in time. And as you see our next slide up on this morning, he is the greatest among them all, and he is the ultimate service. He's talking about himself. He's like, I don't know if you realize, but the greatest among you, I'm among you, but I'm your servant. I'm among you, but I am your servant. In other words, yes, I am who I am. You've seen the miracles. I've walked on water. I've fed the more than 5,000, okay? I've done all of these wonderful things, but guess who I really am? Guess what my the real nature of who I am? My trade, if you will. By trade, I am your servant. So this is what I want us to understand, because the greatest among us is our servant. And this is why serving is great. If serving, ladies and gentlemen, is good enough for Jesus, then serving is sure enough good enough for me. I'll speak on behalf of myself. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it worked for Jesus, it works for me. If Jesus said, this is the way, then I want to make sure that I am in fact going that way. So my question is, I'm going to turn this on you for a second, my friend. Who are you serving on today? What's your why for who you're serving? Do you understand the importance of who you're serving? Or are you looking for everyone to just serve you? Do you want that promotion now to just be able to give orders to others and to have that fancy title and to have your name on the door and your favorite parking spot or maybe it's just an increase in salary or whatever it is? Is that the reason why you're serving? Or is that the reason why you want that promotion? Or do you want that promotion now to just say this and to have a title and to market that title? My question is, where's your motive on today? What's your why? What's your why for wanting the benefits of serving? What's your why for wanting all the accolades from being a server? How often do we forget that leadership is exampleship, and as a leader, you are the example. As a leader, you set the pace. You set the tempo. And everyone that's around, and especially those that or your subordinates or those that directly report to you or whatever that is, they do march off of the beat of the drum you're playing. You set the pattern and you set the pace. Sometimes as leaders, we forget about that, because what we forget sometimes is that it's about just being served and giving the orders and making sure that everybody's doing what they have to do. But that's called a boss. That's not called being a leader. That's not called being a leader. A leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Don't forget about going the way as a leader. You have to make sure that you're going. And as a leader, you have to go there first. You have to go there first and say, okay, it's safe. You have to go there first and say, okay, here's where we are. This is why Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. He said, I will go and prepare a place for you. Jesus went there first. And when we see him again, he's going to welcome us in glory. Jesus went down to defeat the enemy, took away everything that stopped us from being able to have access to heaven, because he wanted to be first and he wanted to set the pattern for our salvation. But as a leader, you set the tone, you set the pattern. And I'm talking to our leaders out there. Anybody that's listening to me on this morning, you are a leader. If you can be an example to someone, if someone can be connected with you, you are in fact a leader. But the question I have, what pace are you setting? What tone are you setting? You have to understand, leader, you have the influence. And you, whether you like it or not, are being watched. And let me say this as I get ready to close. You may have the leadership title, but that does not mean that you are the leader. I'm going to say that again. Just because you have the title, does that mean that you are a leader? Let me break it down. Let me kind of put it where the goats can get it, as some people say. Let me kind of break that down and make it more practical, okay? Just because I own and wear a number 4 Dak Prescott jersey, that doesn't mean that I'm getting ready to hand the football off to Zeke Elliott. I'm not about to feed Zeke just because I'm wearing the jersey. I might be wearing the jersey, but I'm not Dak Prescott. This is sometimes what I think that we forget about sometimes when it comes to just having titles or wearing a name or operating in a position like that. Just because you are doesn't mean that you are, in fact, a leader. Because Jesus said, as he's talking about that, the greatest among you will be your servant. He is talking about the epitome of leadership. He is talking about the epitome of being able to be the ultimate influencer. He is talking about the epitome of being able to make sure that you understand the basic function of being a leader, and that is, in fact, being the great server. Does your team see you serve? Does your family see you serve? Do your children see you serve? Do your coworkers see you serve? Does your team only see you give out orders, or do they see you get down into the trenches and doing the work with them? Because the next slide that we're getting ready to put up on this morning, if you want to be a great leader, you first have to become a great server. If you want to be a great leader, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. If you want to be a great leader, you first have to become a great server. David started out tending his father's sheep. And then later on, David served King Saul. Remember the guy that wanted David dead? He was jealous of David. David was coming to take over the reins, and people began to worship David and to be able to say, hey, he's our guy. He's our guy. He slayed Goliath, and he's done wonderful things out there. He was a crafty musician, very skilled. But David served the man that was after him. David served the man that wanted to see him dead. David served. And he learned from serving, tending sheep. Let's talk about tending sheep just for a quick moment here. Just for a quick moment. Stay with me here. Do you realize that sheep are not easy to tend? Because they go anywhere, they get into anything, they don't use the greatest of, let's just say, knowledge to be careful. They have to be protected, they have to be fed, they have to really and truly be nurtured and cared for. They have to be cleaned up after. David had to clean up the animal droppings and keep them and protect them. He had a staff, he had a rod, he had to fend them off from predators, he had to yank them back for putting themselves in harm's way. Do you understand how hard the job was for David to tend his father's sheep? But you know what? He mastered it. And I want to talk to somebody right now that you're cleaning toilets right now. You're shampooing the floors right now. You're sweeping the parking lot right now. You're doing the gritty things. Well, guess what? I do it too. I do it too. And I want to speak to you right now. It doesn't matter about how gritty it is, how gruesome it is. Do it to the best of your abilities. Be the best toilet cleaner that you can be. Be the best floor sweeper that you can be. Be the best at whatever it is that you are assigned to do, and do it with greatness. Do it with all your heart. Serve your people to the best of the ability that you can, because the greatest among you will be your servant. This is why David eventually became the greatest king of all time, because Jesus mastered the art. He mastered the skill of protecting the sheep, of serving the sheep, of being there to tend the sheep. As gruesome, as ugly, as gritty as it got, David got down into the depths and he served with all of his heart. This is what I want us to understand. So when David tells us in Psalms 103, serve the Lord with all your heart, with gladness. This is a skill that he mastered. It's a lifestyle that he adapted. It's a lifestyle that he embraced. It's a lifestyle that he welcomed, because it started with the least of his duties. And he did the least of his duties to the best of his abilities. Put that in the chat. With the least of his duties, he did that to the best of his abilities. This is why we don't despise a day of small beginnings. When you're just getting started, be great wherever you are. Be great with wherever you're starting. Be great with whatever you're doing. Allow that spirit of greatness and serving to be what God needs for it to be. Be that greatness that Jesus is talking about. Be that greatness and serve where you are, wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing right now, do it to the best of your abilities and watch God move on your life. This is what I want us to understand. It's something about being a leader and the leader being out among the people that are following you and them seeing you serve. Is what I experienced yesterday. Your team has to know that you can relate to them, because you're not too proud to do the work that you're asking them to do. A lot of you know that I work in sanitation services, and we do a lot of big events and festivals. And yesterday, as a matter of fact, in downtown Dallas, serving as my wife had recorded more than 10,000 people, and she was with me. Okay. Serving more than 10,000 people, doing something as simple that most people don't want to do. Picking up trash, picking up bottles, picking up dirty diapers, and you name it, and any and everything is out there. Hot coffee, warm coffee, cold coffee, cans and bottles and whatever else. Leftover plates, everything. It's not a pretty job. But somebody's got to do it. I learned years ago. I used to go, and I don't talk about this a whole lot, but I feel led to talk about it this morning. As a young boy, in the summer times, I used to go with my grandmother. My mother's on here now. She can attest to this. I would go with my grandmother, and we would go to parks. And this was during the summertime, and I would go with my grandmother, and we would pick up cans. And while we would go to different parks, and I remember in Midland, Texas, Hogan Park was one of the parks that we would go and do this. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to go do this, because I'm seeing boys and girls club and different field trips and all these things where kids are out there having a good time. Here I am with a plastic bag going and digging through trash cans and collecting cans and doing something. I was embarrassed. I didn't want my face shown. But my grandmother was teaching me about service at an early age. She was saying, come on out here. We're going to collect these cans and turn them in and let's just get out here and just dig off in the cans. And she did it with a smile on her face. I wasn't at that age and being 10, 11, 12 years old, I didn't want to smile digging in trash cans. I wanted to be where those kids were. I wanted to be having fun with those kids. But she was teaching me about service at an early age. Fast forward 20, 25 years later, look at what I'm doing today. Still picking up cans. My daughter, I just want to give a shout out to her, running two crews for our company. She ran two jobs for us yesterday. I said, look at what my grandmother has instilled. Because it's now went down from another generation and even my mother and her serving in a church and not even feeling the best in her bodies at times. I just want to give some shout outs to some people right now. And all the medical issues that my mother goes through, she never stops serving. She serves the people of God, people that are hurting. And maybe it's some repasses of certain, you know, for certain families and things like that. She don't let her health stop her. There is a level of service that I thank God that has been passed through our family trait. And now I look at my child right now, running crews, working for the company, being in position, worked a 13, 14 hour day yesterday. I'm looking at the level of service and I thank God for it. But I want to dial back onto something where we were going with this. My wife and I working a job, serving 10,000 people, just picking up trash and keeping the streets clean and working with the different cities and different thing and Dallas PD and all that good stuff yesterday, serving and making sure the site was left the way that it started off. But there is something I want to talk about. I was inspired by a group of young people yesterday. I was inspired by those that worked with us yesterday, that did it with a smile on my face. I began to have that spirit enlightened. And I told the group at the end of the job, they got out there. They took care of business. They handled the trash cans. They stocked the trash cans up. And my guy, James Hightower, that maybe listened to us on this morning, he brought his truck over and said, hey, you can put the trash in the back of my truck. Let's make this thing work. Everything started working like clockwork. These folks had never worked with us before. But you know what it was? They saw me out there in the streets. They saw me picking up trash. They saw my wife picking up trash. They saw us bagging up the trash. They saw the leaders of the company doing the work. And that began to inspire them. And at the end of the day, because they were able to see the leader out there in the streets, walking past people. And let me just say something. This was an event where there were Maseratis and Lamborghinis and Ferraris being showcased all over. So it was a high profile event in front of the W Hotel and the Dallas American Airlines Center and all that. And what are we doing? We're serving. We're serving. And that began to light a fire into this group yesterday. And they work like nobody's business. And at the end of the day, when we huddled up, I told them, I said, I want to tell y'all something. All 12 of y'all, I want to tell y'all something. The number 12. I want to tell y'all something. There was a guy that was walking with one of my guys, and he wasn't contracted to work with us, but he saw the work, what he doing. He jumped on. He said, can I work with you? Absolutely. I'll write your check. Just come on and be a part of the team. You know why? Because he saw the leader, how I was treating the workers. He saw the leader, how we were out there as a team working together. This guy came to an event and left with a check because he was inspired by the level of service. This is what's missing on today. This is what the younger generation, ladies and gentlemen, they need to see. Generation X and all of us, they need to see us serving. We can't be too pretty. We can't be too cute. We can't point the finger at the younger generation and say they're lazy and say this and say that when we ourselves are being Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeah, I'm telling it like it is because I know and I saw it for myself when we inspire them to do the work. This is why our church is called, we're inspiring, right? We're inspiring the love of God, the spirit of inspiring love. We want to inspire the love of God because when they see the service, they're seeing the love. Every last one of them hugged me before they left yesterday, embraced me before they left yesterday. When can we work with you again? When's the next job? When's the next job? We want to work with you again. Young lady, I want to work for you again. You've talking about in today's time where it's hard to find good work, when people don't want to work, how about we change the dynamic of what we're talking about And let's inspire people to work. Let's encourage people to work. Let's let them see us do the work instead of pointing the fingers of what people don't do. The word of God is meeting us where we are on this morning. It is not a shortage of workers. There is not a shortage of workers. There isn't a shortage of inspiration. I said it. I don't take it back. Put it in the chat. Because if we're going to change what's going on right now, here we're talking about supply chain issues and all that. No, people just aren't inspired to work anymore. It ain't even always about the money. Sometimes they just need to see the leader out there working his heart out, working his fingers to the bone, working her fingers to the bone, getting out there among, because we lost that. See, we appreciated all of the essential workers when COVID was going on. But then we got back to smelling ourselves now that things are getting back to what it was, and we forgot about that. We forgot about appreciating them. We forgot about inspiring them, encouraging them. And we've let in politics. Yeah, I'm saying it. I'm way out here now. Write me, take a picture. Listen, I don't care. But we have got to get back to inspiring people to doing what's needed, because I saw it firsthand. And I know that out of that 12, it ain't just that 12. There is a nation that needs to be inspired. This generation needs to be inspired, and it is up to us that's leading the charge to be that great server that Jesus is talking about. The greatest among us will be our servant, will be our servant, will be serving, will do service. But I want us to know something as I close on today, and all of your servants, serve the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all that is within you. Serve the Lord like you have lost your mind. Serve him from the bottom of your heart, from the depths of your soul. Say yes to his will. Say yes to his way, and serve the Lord to the best of your abilities. Because if you can serve God, whom you haven't seen before, you can serve your neighbor, who you have seen. And in Psalms 103, as one of the greatest servers of all time by the name of King David says, serve the Lord with gladness. Put a smile on your face. Allow people to see that you're glad to be alive, and that you're glad to serve, and that you're glad to be in the land of the living, to inspire, to encourage, to serve, and that you're going to go first. You're going to go the way. You're going to show the way. You're going to be part of the way, and they're going to see you, and we're going to turn this thing around. And the people of God are going to lead the charge at what service is supposed to be about. Not about how I can receive and how I can be served, but what can I do to serve? What can I do to give? How can I be there? How can I inspire? How can I encourage? This, ladies and gentlemen, is what we have to do. So remember, as I close, to serve your way in to fellowship with God and serve your way in to leadership. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is how the greatest among you will be your servant. And this is the greatness of serving. Amen. Amen. Give God praise for his word. Give him praise for his word. We don't ever want to be too proud to serve, because serving is what's going to take our economy to the next level. Serving is what's going to take our lives to the next level. Serving is what's going to help elevate us in our lives on today. Right now, before we get into an appeal here, we've got a special request. And I want to right now just stop right now, because that's what this is all about. I am serving right now. Gino Giddings out of the ICU is right now asking for prayer. Gino, if you're listening right now, everybody lift your hand that is with us right now, this very moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Gino Giddings. And I want to thank you for the life. I want to thank you for the ability right now to just be able to be used as a vessel, Lord, to serve your servant, Lord Jesus. I don't know all the details. I don't have to, because you're all knowing, Father God. You know what's needed. You know, Lord, we're standing in the need of prayer right now. And right now, Heavenly Father, this person needs you like never before. Show up and show out. We expect a miracle. We know you're still in the serving business. And we expect, Lord Jesus, we come with a prayer of expectation for full restoration, for full healing, for full service to be done unto your servant, Lord. And we right now, we thank you for binding the hands of the enemy where he's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan, you have no place in this moment. You have no place. Fire a demon and fire yourself because you got nothing to do with this. We come to serve. You notice that you are out. You're done. And we send your writing papers to you because the Lord wrote in his word that by his stripes we are healed. He wrote in his word to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He wrote in his word that he came to die so that all of our sins and our healings and everything that we need, he took it up on the cross. He bared all of that on the cross. He bared all of that on Calvary. And we thank you for the healing. Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the testimony. We thank you for the inspiration that Gino is going to be able to give the world. And we thank you for the recovery, the full recovery of every limb of the body. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Thank you for just allowing this person to be alive, to be able to say, Lord, I need a word. And Lord, I need you, Lord. You said the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And the just shall live by faith. By faith, we know it's already done. And we stand in agreement right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you for your service, Lord Jesus. We love you for continuing to serve us. And we thank you for the healing and restoration of this body. In the name of Jesus, we pray on today. And somebody out there that needs to know you as that great server, right now on today, just lift your hand and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died. And that you rose on the third day. Help me to serve like you, Father God. Help me to lead by serving. Help me to serve you like never before. Bring me into your kingdom. We believe that you died, that you rose with all the power and with all the glory. And we thank you for just being a forgiving God, for being a loving God, for being a serving God. In Jesus' name on today, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. I want to thank y'all for joining us. Yes, this is offering time right now. You know how we give. We have the option to give into this ministry here. If the Lord lays on your heart, just, you know, whatever it is. You've got Givelify. We've got the Givelify offering option here, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We have Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. And then we've got our P.O. Box 180972 in the great city of Arlington, Texas. Remember, giving is what? Service. And that's been our word on today. Serve the people of God with your gift and allow God to move in your life by you being obedient. Remember, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And I just want to real quickly read 2 Corinthians 2:19, the New International Version. This service, here's that word, service, 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 service. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of Lord's people, the needs of the Lord's people, it is also overflowing, okay? We want overflowing blessings. We need to serve with overflowing. We want God to do overflowing in our life. We need to give with overflowing. Give and you shall receive. Give and it shall be returned. Give and it will be pressed down. If you give, you will receive. If you're not receiving, check your level of giving. And it says overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Giving is service. Serve the people of God on today. And I just want to thank y'all that have joined us, spent this time with us on today here. And as you know, as we close on today, let me close out with a prayer that reminded me. Yep, let's say a prayer of the offering. Lord, we thank you for every seed that's coming into this ministry. Thank you for every seed. Lord, I pray a hundredfold return over every seed. There is a seed for every need and a need for every seed, Lord. And we thank you for it right now. Whether it's $2, $3, $4, $5, it ain't even about the amount. It's about the level of service. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I speak a hundredfold blessing over every seed, Lord. move serving into somebody's life like never before, so they can go to places that they've never gone before in their life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this morning. We're going to be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. I want you to beat me there. We're going to see you next week as we come to you. I would give you the title right now, but I'm going to quench your thirst. Oh, next week's word, you don't want to miss it. Oh, next week's word, you don't want to miss it. Be right here, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. We'll see you folks next Sunday. Have a blessed and wonderful, fantastic day on today. Love y'all. Have a good one.
Cause every- all know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the Word of God like never before. We need the Word of God like we've never needed the Word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday. And you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit, so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, beat me there.
We Talk Radio Network has something for everyone, with shows featured every single day of the week, which means you can join us every day and have fun every day. And if you got a business, feel free to join us and advertise your business right here on our platform.